and welcome to the Kickstarter edition, September 21st, 2018. This is the show where we talk about the Kickstarter games we're backing, might back, and have already received and played. I'm one of your hosts, Kitty.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're backing Midnight Legion, Gem Hens. We're watching Lockup, Summoner's Tale, Tiny Epic Mechs, Set a Watch, The Artemis Project, Snakes and Ladders, Unleashed, and we will review Root. So, yeah.
Lots I had an stuff. Important milestone this week.
Oh?
I got an email from one of our listeners saying, hey, I backed this because you recommended it.
You know, that first one is like, oh, that's great. Once you start getting them with, I have a Kickstarter addiction all because of you, it starts to make you feel bad.
Yeah. But Anne Reynolds says that she backed into the Black Forest?
Into the Black, yep.
Black Forest, something forest.
Yeah.
Because I recommended it and it's very exciting.
Yay. Did you back it?
I haven't yet. It's okay. On my list still. I was watching it last week and it still has like 9 or 10 days to go. So.
All right. Well, if you don't.
Next week.
Yeah. If you don't back it, then we can play it with Anne.
Yeah.
We'll just have to hit her up at the next convention we're both at.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Now, what I did back is Midnight Legion. I think this one is The Portal of Life. This is the name of the third book, but like Midnight Legion is a series of three, and then there's a book zero, so it's kind of like four. And I got it at all the PDF levels because I've not bought any of these before. All the PDFs were $38 for everything. And this is talked about a little bit last week, but it's a choose your own adventure with graphical puzzles and different things like that.
It's like a solo RPG is how they brand it.
Yeah. And it's cool because you get to create a character and there's 2d6. It's a simple system. But as you go through, you're developing that character and going through this massive storyline. And I passed up a couple really good games to back this one. And I think I should justify it because I didn't back Nanti Narking, which I really, really wanted to, but I couldn't. And I also didn't back, what was the other one I was looking at? Oh, I think it was Infinities, Defiance of Fate, and possibly Thieves' Den. Like this was a tough week.
It was.
But I figured this is a game that I can play on my iPad and just kind of like read as I go. And the PDFs are all hyperlinked, so it makes it really easy to kind of like move around inside of the story. So yeah, that's what I decided to do. Midnight Legion.
It seems like a really cool thing that you can enjoy for a long time and then start over again. Because you can replay it, right? You can make new characters. And I didn't realize here it says for 1 to 2 players.
Yeah, I think it's more like a cooperative storytelling game, but I don't think you can create 2 characters, but maybe you can.
I don't know. It would sort of make sense if, you know, two of you are just sitting next to each other reading and you have to make the decisions together. You know, it seems cool.
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to it.
I need Spencer help with all my logic puzzles that I do all the time anyway, so.
And honestly, these types of stories, they're sort of, well, not sort of, they're just more fun when you can like experience them with other people. We're talking about that with solo games or co-op games. It's just more fun when you're working with someone else, even if it feels like it could be a solo game.
Yeah. And it's nice to be able to do both.
Yep. All right. What did you back?
I backed Gem Hens, a real-time dice rolling egg extravaganza. And we talked about this one last week. This was part of my tough choice coming into this week and next week of 3 really good games on the horizon. This one, you roll your dice, everyone at the same time, and then you set them. You have a timer that gives you so much time to roll your dice, place them, and then you spend your dice to pick up gems that the farmer has put out on the thing because you're trying to make the fanciest egg and you lay the egg with the gems already in it because as a chicken you have eaten the gems and you are laying these fancy pants eggs.
I have to expect that that's a little bit painful, but I'm not a chicken, so I'm not going to judge.
I mean, I just imagine that any egg laying would be painful. I mean, like, I had a baby, and that was not a cup of tea. And, you know, chickens do it, like, every day. That's crazy.
But they're so tasty as well. So I'm going to go with it.
All right. And there's chicken meeples.
There are chicken meeples.
I decided to call cheeples. And they look great. It looks fun. You have until September 20th if you'd like to join me. It is a $29 purchase. And that is Gem Hens was my pick this week.
All right. Games that we're watching. Now, I'm a big fan of role player.
I know.
And role playing, but role player the game. And it recently came out with an expansion, Monsters and Minions. And I will certainly review that relatively soon on one of these episodes. But the same creator of Role Player has created another game in that universe, but not an expansion to Role Player. It's called Lockup. It is a Role Player Tale, a board game for 1 to 5 players. Now, the fifth player and the one player, I think, were unlocked with stretch goals, but they're already unlocked, so I guess it is 1 to 5 players. And this game, the premise is you're one of 5 different fantasy factions. So you could be, I think it's goblins, kobolds, bugbears, insectoids, and something else that I'm forgetting. And you are in a fantasy prison. And you are attempting to be the most influential gang inside of that prison. So you're placing your cohorts in different rooms. So it's a worker placement game, but you're trying to be the primary number of workers in each room. So each room is a space. So if I put 3 of my guys there, but you have 2 of your guys there, I'm going to win. I'm going to get the first reward for that room and you'll get the second reward for it. The catch to it is we're going to go and we're going to place all our workers before we evaluate any of the rooms. And once you place a worker or one or more workers in a room, you can't place any more in that room. So if I put 2 in one room and you come in and put 3, I can't put another one in there. So you're going to catch that one. So there's kind of this bluffing, push your luck thing where it's well, I don't really want you to know where I'm going to go. So I'm going to try to keep that for last, but I have to make you not also want it. So this is an interesting bluffing thing. There's a little bit of take that as well as you're trying to block people and you're literally just trying to, bully people into saying, hey, you're the best. But I really, really like this concept. I have not seen a game where you are a prison gang trying to take over the prison, and they get away with it because it's fantasy, and you can get away with anything in fantasy.
I was going to say, it's a fantasy prison where I love that it's all of the, level 1 monsters you face in a D&D campaign.
Yeah.
This is where you send all those guys you beat up in that first play session.
Yeah. The first adventure? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. And you can also get, there's 6 cards that you get for that are expansions for role player. So if you are a fan of role player, you can add those on. But otherwise, this game is pretty cheap.
Role player, is that like Yahtzee?
It is not like Yahtzee. It involves rolling dice. That is the limit to the similarities there.
And placing them. Scoring them.
You don't place dice in Yahtzee. You do score them, but there's no scoring dice in role player.
It's not like Yahtzee.
For those who are wondering why, it's a long-running, terrible inside joke. $39 for Lockup. $6 if you want to add in the role player cards. Or if you just want the role player cards because you don't care about Lockup, then that's $9. So it's $9 for 6 cards. It seems like a lot, but the cards are cool. And I am looking forward to the sequel of Lockup, which I'm going to predict is Breakout, because that's the next part. Is now you've taken over the prison, now you need to break out of the prison.
Makes sense to me.
I'm just saying. It goes till October 9th, so you have about a couple weeks before this one expires, and that's me, Lockup.
All right. I am watching Summoner's Isle. This is a contest of strategy, area control, resource management, and cunning. Do you have what it takes to be a summoner? So this is a 2 to 4 player game that plays in about an hour. And for each round, you take turns summoning creatures to the island. Something that's interesting about it is the creatures are summoned by type. So first, everyone gets a chance to summon their most powerful monster, if they're going to, or creature, they call them. And then the next most powerful creatures, and then the sprites are the one I remember. I think it's a worm, a troll, and a sprite are the three kinds of creatures. And you just have one worm, and that's what you can do on the first round. And then the second round, you get all your trolls, I'm going to say. And then the third round, you can play a bunch of sprites if you want. And that's how you choose to spend your energy. Then on your action phase, you move your creatures to try to banish other player creatures to gain energy. You, at the end of the round, you gain or lose energy based on your current energy level, which is kind of a catch-up mechanic they have. If you're like really far ahead of everyone, you start seeping energy because you just can't contain that much. And you'll gain it if you're in the last place. So it kind of evens out. So it doesn't feel like somebody can just get a runaway lead.
Right.
And then you have 9 rounds of this play. Or if a player reaches 36 energy, they automatically win. And it looks like a interesting game. I don't think I've seen something that looks quite like this. It looks like a very, very straightforward area control game, more than like what I think of as an area control game.
Yeah, it looks to me like a streamlined, kind of reminiscent of Small World. There's a lot of things that are very different, but it's, you know, you're kind of taking over different territories, moving around, trying to out cardboard your opponents. But I think the cardboards, they have different powers on them. So technically, yes, they kind of add together to do that fight. But it looks really cool. It's like a neat little strategy game. 40 to 60 minutes, too. So it doesn't play crazy long, even though it sounds like, oh, 9 turns or 9 rounds. That seems like a ton of time. Seems like these rounds play pretty quick.
Yeah, it seems like they've really focused on streamlining the gameplay. And it looks really interesting. Looks like a light game with as much depth as you want to put in it, kind of.
Right. Yeah, and it's a double-sided board, so there's a 2-player side and a 3- and 4-player side. So it's tailored to 2-player games if necessary. And I like that they acknowledge that 36 is a magical number and therefore the winning score. People are like, wait a minute, 36 a magical number, is it? Like, go Google it. You'll see.
You have until October 2nd. It is a $24 game, and that is Summoner's Isle.
Excellent. All right. I don't know that I talk too much about this group of games, but I think I talked just enough about it.
I've ever heard you talk about this group of games before, Chris. Please enlighten me about this thing I've never heard you speak of before.
Well, there's this thing called Tiny Epic Mechs. So I think in the last few weeks, we've done Tiny Epic Defender, Tiny Epic Zombies, now it's Tiny Epic Mechs. And this is a mechanized entertainment combat heroes. Basically, the way this works is these are item meeples, and if you're unfamiliar with item meeples, they're plastic meeples with holes for hands, and you can put little weapons and stuff in them so you can kind of see what your meeples are carrying around. But not only can your item meeples hold weapons, your item meeples can jump inside of a mech, and then that mech can hold weapons. And this is a combat, it's more of a strategy game than anything else, a tactical strategy game. So you have a certain number of actions that you're going to program on your turn. So you're going to select 4 different actions. And then as those actions are revealed, you're going to move, you can attack, you can buy weapons, you can power things up. If you get into the mech, because there's only one mech, then, you know, then everyone's going to be attacking you because, you know, you're in the mech and everyone else wants to get the mech. But you're trying to essentially get points or fame, like make the crowd like what you're doing. And that's how you win the game. You're going to go through a number of rounds. Whoever has the most crowd love at the end of those rounds wins the game. The combat mechanic is pretty straightforward. Once 2 meeples are in the same place, item meeples are in the same place, you'll start attacking each other with weapons. But each weapon can only be used once. So it's kind of like tapped and tired. And I don't know if tired is what they use, but that, I think they should. And then once all the weapons are used, whoever's left standing stays. Otherwise, you get kind of pushed back, or I'm assuming you get pushed back. But there's 3 types of weapons. There's melee, area, and range. That kind of works like a paper, rock, scissors, where melee beats area, area beats range, range beats melee. So there's a lot of tacticalness up there. And the crazy thing about it is, even though this thing comes with two mechs in the box, I'm guessing that the second mech is some kind of special card because there's only one that starts on the board. It's only $25. $25. And I say $25 because that's for the deluxe version. If you want the non-deluxe version, nobody does. But if you did, it's only $20. So you can save $5.
There's only a $5 difference. It's like, you might as well go for the deluxe.
You have to go for the deluxe.
Right.
And if you do go for the deluxe, it comes with the print and play. And I think, yeah, and the exclusive deluxe content for it. So this one looks really, really cool. I'm a big fan of mechs and any kind of mech combat battles and stuff. This here, it plays in an hour or so. You get to do that, all that tactical mech fighting. Think if you liked Mech Warrior or something like that, tactical mech fights, this is a game. Also, I like programming games, so...
Also, do you enjoy the Tiny Epic series of games?
I think the Tiny Epic series of games has a lot, little things going for it, such as,
such as like your favorite series of games.
Yeah. These are games that everybody, maybe not everybody, but anybody who wants to play games at work, these are the games you bring and just put on your desk at work because they take up such a small footprint and there are real large games inside of them that it just...
Awesome. Their box is small. Some of these games, I don't know how they fit into those boxes because they expand to be really big play footprint games.
Yeah. Tiny Epic Quest takes up a 3x3 foot table. Like, you need a full size table to play it. And most of the games, Tiny Epic Zombies is the same way. It's a full size game. It just fits into a small box. And they still manage to put a whole lot of like plastic and wood in there as well. It's not like it's just, you know, cardboard or anything. It's a real game.
So. I feel like they're just really proving how much air is in everyone else's box.
I think that might be, that's not that far from the truth. Now, don't get me wrong. This is also the same company and designer that gave us Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea, which is the biggest game
I think I own ever.
Yeah. But they like the extremes. So that's Tiny Epic Mechs. Goes till October 6th, $25. Don't worry about the $20 version. Spend the extra $5.
All right. I'm watching Set a Watch. Fight for the light before the evil unhallowed consume our world in darkness in this 1-4 player cooperative puzzle adventure game. So this is, it looks kind of like the Harry Potter deck building game to me a little bit.
Okay.
You are each playing, or I don't know if everyone has their own adventurer, but you are playing a group of adventurers, and you go to a location, and each night you set a watch, and one adventurer rests while the others take the watch position where they fight off a line of monster using dice to either attack or activate special abilities of each adventurer. And you have to go to 9 different locations and clear them of the monsters before your fire goes out to win the game. And the classes, you play classes like typical D&D classes. You have a ranger, a rogue, a fighter. I don't remember the rest, but...
Looks like dwarf and cleric. This is like classic D&D where dwarf is both a class and a race.
It looks fun. It looks like a good solo game to me. I don't know that it would be a great multiplayer co-op, but it looked like a good soloable game to me.
Yeah. So this reminds me a little bit more. So that doesn't, I think the art kind of looks like the Harry Potter card game, but the play is very different.
The thing that reminded me of the play was just that you're at a location and the monsters come from the location and you work together to defeat them.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Was kind of the mechanic I was thinking of there. There's a lot more to both of these games in completely different directions from that, though.
Yeah. This reminds me a lot of the Dresden File card game where...
I'm not familiar with it.
Yeah, so basically what both of these games, you have a line of monsters and all of the different characters are trying to take out the monsters. And it's more of a puzzle than anything else because every character has abilities. And it's like, how can you use your abilities to get rid of all those monsters? The thing that I really like about this game is it takes It does. It says, you know something? We're not going to worry about focusing on the adventuring stuff. We're not going to focus on leveling up or anything like that. We're going to focus on what happens at camp.
Yeah.
Every time you play a role-playing game, what's the watch order? And then nothing happens. So why did we do this? Here, something happens every single time, so much so that only one person gets to sleep each night.
Only one person. And they, I think they don't even get to sleep. They get to take a camp action, which is like a special action that you can only take as the resting hero.
I think this one is fun to me. I think it has also the same size as a tiny epic box.
Just about, yeah. It looks like a small box. Looks very nice. It's a $22 game, but there is a $29 deluxe version, which why not go for it? This one is
$7
more. Yeah, that's like nothing. And you have until October 11th. And all of these October dates are reminding me I need to start buying birthday presents because I have so many October birthdays and it's freaking me out.
And when Halloween did that costumes. Happen? Yeah.
I know.
Actually, what I see with October is like, oh, wow, we're going to be at Essen. Like, literally 1 month from today, we're going to be in Europe.
So exciting.
And not me, you, we are. Sydney and I, we are. But still, that's really cool.
I'm excited for you guys.
I'm excited
for us too. Not to be internationally traveling with a 7-month-old, though. So,
yeah, that's why we're doing it with the...
The bump.
The 5-month baking one.
Yeah, right, just a bump.
All right, so that was Set a Watch, October 11th. Oh, let's see. The Artemis Project is the next one I'm taking a look at. And this one, I've heard about this one. I don't know if this is a reprint or maybe the name just sounds really familiar. But this is a... a tableau colony building game, but you're placing dice as your workers. So you're going to roll dice and those become your workers. And the numbers on the dice become more or less efficient depending on the actions you're going to take. So typically most of the actions will just have like a direct effect on the dice. So if this is a 2, it's this powerful, whatever. Or you might need to have certain combinations of dice to be able to take an action. The one that's actually interesting, well, there's a number that are interesting, but the one that's kind of unique is there's one track where you're kind of going out into this. The Artemis Project is you're trying to colonize, I think it's Europa, one of the moons.
It is definitely Europa.
Yep. One of the moons of, is that Saturn?
Jupiter.
I think. They're both really big planets.
Yeah, one of those gas giants.
Yeah. So and the top of it is ice, and underneath is this ocean. So you're going to be trying to colonize on top and bottom, so you have to take actions on both sides. But you have to go out and gather resources so you can survive. And when you place your die on the gather resource track, the dice are put in numeric order. So the lowest die is on the left, the highest die is on the right. When you execute actions, because everyone places their dice first, when you execute actions, you start filling it on the left. And then resources come out. You move your little token on the resource track. So if I have a 1, I'm going to get a resource. If a 3's on there, okay, I'm going to get 3 resources. If I get to the point where I put a 6 on there because I want to get 6 resources, but there aren't 6 resources when it gets to me, I'm going to take exposure damage. And there's going to be negative consequences to that. So does this kind of like push your luck where the luck is whether or not your opponents feel more of a desire to screw you over or maybe do another action? So I just think it's a kind of an interesting way. The art on this thing is really, really cool. It's a 60 to 75 minute game. So you're looking at like probably an hour and a half to play, to be honest. 2 to 5 players. And that is Artemis, the Artemis Project, actually. It's $65 for the deluxe version, or you can go non-deluxe for $55. There's a theme here.
And I like that you put them in the notes the opposite of me. I'm always like, oh, it's $22 or $29 for the deluxe. And you're like, it's $65. Or if you want to downgrade.
It's Kickstarter. Why would you not want to get everything? So the deluxe version here comes with like 30 metal coins. So I think that's the main difference between the two. So for $10 more, you get metal coins. But yeah, this one, I have to say, this one looks pretty cool. And there's a ton of people, like, he has quotes from so many different people on this thing that are, like, talking about it and such. This does go from 1 to 5 players, I believe, if I said so. Nope, 2 to 5 players. And this is the one where the 5th player became the stretch goal. I think I misspoke on one previous.
So yeah, it looks like the solo, there is a solo mode that is yet to unlock.
Oh, right. But it will unlock. I know it will, because it needs 52,500 to unlock, and they're right now at 51,700. Oh, and they have 15 days to go, so we will have...
They'll make that.
Yeah, we'll have 1 to 5 players. So, what is there? Thrive or Perish, the Artemis Project is a dice placement engine builder where you complete to build the best colony of Europa. So if you like something like Alien Frontiers, this reminds me a lot of that, but it is once you've already landed on the moon. All right, what do you got next?
All right, join me in Kitty's Family Corner for Snakes and Ladders Unleashed. And this is a movable snakes and ladder and an evolving board layout, which turns a simple kids' dice game into a game of tactics and probability. So this looks just like, I would call it Chutes and Ladders, but, you know, this is from Europe, so it's Snakes and Ladders. And it is exactly like that, except all of the squares on the board move. You place your board, you lay it out, deal out a board, and all of the snakes and ladders are little wooden pieces that you place on top of the board. So everyone gets turns messing with the board. And so you don't just roll the dice and move, you roll the dice and you can move your piece or the pieces of the board. You can draw tiles, you can place to make the board, or you can play them for effects. It looks really cool. It looks totally customizable. They say it can be flexed to make the game harder or easier depending on the player level and the age of the kids. It is, they say, playable with all age groups from 5 years up. It sets up in a few minutes, very easy to learn, and the board is different every time you play. And it's only 15 to 30 minutes, so easily keeps the attention span of a kid.
Yep. I like the fact that their goal was $788.
Yes.
So, now, it's converted to pounds, so it's not like they're being creative with $788. I think that it's probably closer to like $700 or something like that, but probably 600. I don't know. The conversion's in my head. I can't do that.
It looks like this is just like some guy's pet project, but it looks really cool. And he looks like he's put a ton of thought and playtest into it. But you can also tell he has not spent a lot of money on his playtest promo. What is the word I'm looking for? Prototype. It looks like it is cut out of cardboard boxes with printer paper glued on it. But hey, I'd rather you spend the time figuring out the rules and not playing around on websites ordering bits.
Yeah. But the snakes and the ladders are laser cut, which makes them look really cool. So assuming that the quality of the board is going to be upgraded once the Kickstarter is done, this one makes snakes and ladders or chutes and ladders an actual tactical strategy game as opposed to roll the dice and see what happens.
Yeah. And this one's interesting because for $25, you get the game in a cotton bag, or for $33, you get the game in a polished wooden box.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I might get this just for the box.
It seems like a fun one to hold on to play with your kid.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And this box looks really nice for not a lot of money.
For $33, I think, because most of the other pieces are going to be cardboard tiles.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And that was, let's see, October 10th, you have until.
Yep. Snakes and Ladders Unleashed.
Sweet. Okay, we are reviewing Root. Why? Because I gave you a chance to watch or play it before we reviewed it, and you didn't play it, but you read some stuff about it.
I did.
And you are the one that convinced me to get this game in the first place.
I don't remember doing it now, but I'll own up to it. Yeah.
I will find the episode.
I'm not downing you. I just don't particularly remember it.
Well, I have to say, I would say thank you for pointing this game out to me as a game that I should get. Because usually I don't look so much at like cutesy farm animal games, although some of my favorite ones now are cutesy farm animal games. This one...
I call them woodland creatures.
Okay, woodland creature farm animal games. No, I guess these are more woodland creatures because you have...
Foxes.
birds, raccoons. There's
a cat.
Oh yeah, there's the cats.
Lizards. And that's an expansion.
Yeah, lizards and beavers. Frogs, I think.
I thought they were beavers. They're maybe river creatures. There might be more than one kind of animal that lives on the river.
Well, you have my game, so.
Mice.
No, there's no, you don't play there's mice. Totally.
There's mice on the board, though.
There are mice on the board. So let's get into how this game plays. So basically, this is a completely asymmetric game. Not only in your characters, but also in how your character wins the game. With an asterisk, really you win the game by points. But how you get points is very different from character to character. That said, it can be tricky to learn an asymmetric game when everything is different about your particular faction. So you're trying to teach this game and you're like, okay, well, this is what you do. And oh, wait, how do I work? And oh, you work this way. So they are also the same creators as the creators of Vast, which is a notoriously difficult game to teach. But what they did here is they have you set up for a 4-player game and you can then remove down. You can go down to 2 players. And there is a card that walks you through the first 2 turns of your turns.
Yeah.
Regardless of what race you're playing, you're going to be, you just do these things. Don't worry about it. Don't ask questions. Just do these things. And then once you've done that, they let you go and you play the game to conclusion. Now, those first 2 turns, you may not actually in a normal game want to do what it's recommending. But since you're all starting from the same spot, it works out just fine. And once you play it again, you're like, okay, well, I'm going to definitely do something different on my first 2 turns. All of these different races, they have so much flavor to them in how they work. It's almost beyond fascinating that you could just play this game. So I think with the expansion, there are 6 different factions. And with the base box, there are 4, I believe. Yeah,
there are 4 in the base. I think there's 7 with the expansions.
Because there's an extra... Vagabond. Yes. So you have so many different combinations, and the book will tell you, it's like, play this combination, or these are the different 2-player combinations, these are the different 3-player combinations.
There's a whole table
of them, and you don't, like, you could probably venture out and not do those. These are the recommended ones because they're the ones that work best together. So I would like to try to explain how to play the game, but it's really difficult because you're not necessarily, different races are going to do it differently. But on the board itself, there are 3 factions in the forest that you don't control. And it's foxes, mice, and bunnies, I believe, are the 3 factions. And so each area on the board is going to be controlled by 1 of those factions. And that's really just to say you are going to need something. Like, if you want to take an action in the bunny spaces, you're going to need to discard a bunny card. So these are suits that you're going to have in your hand. So there's some cards you draw, and how many cards you get, again, depends on your race. And what you can do depends on your race. So I played one where the birds can do all kinds of cool things, but every turn you have to play 1 of these suits, whether, you know, foxes, bunnies, or rabbits. And then there's birds is another suit, but it's a wild suit. So you play 1 of these cards, up to 2. And then you have to take actions in order of the cards that you've played out. So the first turn, I put out 2 cards. So I can take 2 actions and I can, like, you know, multiply and then move. And then I put out another one in the next turn so I can multiply, move, and attack now. And then I put another one as I multiply, move twice, and attack. And if ever I have a sequence where I can't complete, so I need to move twice, but my suits don't match and I just can't move characters, then the entire bird world gets very upset and they strike down the leader and a new leader comes out and all the decrees, they call them, go away. And then you start again with, okay, I can take 1 or 2 actions. So you have this, like, chain that you can really build up, but you have to manage that in its own way. You have the vagabond who's running around and his goal is basically just to try and make friends with someone else so he can win with them. And there is a win condition for them where they can kind of win their own way. What did Sydney play? She was, it's escaping me. But basically what she had was she was trying to, there's a number of ways you can win. So you can win by points. I think when you first to 15 or some odd number of points. But you can also win with special cards. And what she was trying to do is she was trying to win with the special card where if you control three Fox territories, then you win the game. So once she played this, she had control of three territories at that time, but you have to start your turn with it. So then all I had to do was keep her from getting Fox territories, and I was going to win the game. And this game is phenomenal in so many ways. It doesn't I played it two players, so it doesn't really feel Take That when you're doing a two-player game because you're actually trying to fight each other. But the way the differences in all the in the races and how they play make me feel like this would be fine to play at four players, and the Take That would be relatively minimal because you all have your own goals.
I was going to say, it looks like every goal is so different and so uniquely tailored to the race. And I love the like backstories they've given each of the factions. Like, there's like a communist party of forest animals, basically, where they're trying to rise up against their oppressors. And it just cracks me up. And there's the lizard expansion. They're like a cult. So they're trying to gain acolytes, and there's like different mechanics for them to gain followers, and they all play entirely different from each other, to the point where if you figure out how to play one race, you've maxed how to do that, you've got it totally done, and you want to start with another one, it's like playing a completely different perspective on the game. Yeah.
But the one of the cool things they do is each card has all their character stuff on it. So you have this like faction board, really. And it tells you how to play that faction.
Yeah.
You don't really need anything else. Once you have a basic understanding of the game, your faction board guides you through everything. And learning the different factions is way easier than Vast was, where it's like two pages of dense instructions. This is just one side of the card shows you how to set up your race. The other side of the card, you're just, this is your turn order. This is what you're doing on your turn. And it's, I really can't speak highly enough of this game. It is amazing, and you should play it. With the expansion, and the expansion may be tricky to get. I've been told it is sold out, so I feel bad talking about it. But with the expansion, you can also play solo, as there is a, basically an AI forest race that plays, and you play against the AI. So that is Root. If you can't tell, this game is really cool, and I can't wait to get it back from you so I can play it more times.
I'll try to play it soon.
All right.
Spencer actually said he'd play it with me. I was watching a video when he got home, and he was like, oh, this looks interesting. It's like, really? It looks super complicated for you. And he's like, yeah, but I'll play it.
I think it wouldn't be too bad. It's just follow that turn structure, follow that turn, like the first two turn card. And after that, it completely just makes sense.
It does look like they put a lot of thought into how to teach this game.
Yep. They really did. And like I said, when I first pulled it out, it was like, all right, I'm going to separate all the components into their appropriate piles. But if you look at the back of all the character cards, it tells you exactly what components go with every character. So that's really easy to do. And then you pick two characters and just go with it.
All right.
Read us out.
Thanks for listening. The Kickstarter edition is produced by Tabletop Game Talk Studios, a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Be sure to check out our On Topic episodes anywhere you find your podcasts or at tabletopgametalk.com. You can follow us on Facebook at Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at Tabletop Game TLK. I'm at Lawful Good Mom, and Chris is at Game Master Chris. If you have a Kickstarter you think we should check out, email us at kickstarter@tabletopgametalk.com. And finally, a huge thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Emil Jiljam, George Gia, Adam Harrison, Corey Bell, and the SGC.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.